All right, we're continuing in our series that we've been doing for several weeks now. We're looking through the Sermon on the Mount. Today, the teaching is about vows and truth-telling. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen. I'll be reading today from Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to begin with verse 33 and read down through verse 37. Jesus said, "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows that you make to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not make any vows. Do not say, 'By heaven,' because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, 'By the earth,' because the earth is God's footstool. And do not say, 'By Jerusalem,' for Jerusalem is the city of the great King. Do not even say, 'By my head,' for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, 'Yes, I will,' or 'No, I won't.' Anything beyond this is from the evil one." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for the way that Your Spirit has moved through our worship service thus far, and we pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would continue to move among us. I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be Your words. And God, we ask that You would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that You have for us today might be more than just information for us. Indeed, Lord, may we see them as being more than information. But indeed, might we find Your words to be words of transformation. And may Your transforming word weave itself deeply into our hearts so that we might leave this place as transformed people and be the disciples of Jesus that You want us to be. All this is impossible for us to accomplish on our own sake. So we lift this prayer up, Lord, not because of who we are, but because of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's in the name of Jesus that we offer up this prayer this morning, saying amen. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but it seems like a lot of people, when they'll say something to you, they'll start it off by saying, "honestly," and then they'll say it. But you know what I've noticed? That nobody ever says, "dishonestly." Nobody ever starts it off with "dishonestly." It makes me think that there are a lot of ways that we will try to convince the people around us that what we say is true, right? We might say, "I swear it on the stack of Bibles." You ever heard that one? "I swear on the stack of Bibles. I swear. I swear to God, this is true." We might say something like, "If I'm lying, I'm dying. If I'm lying, I'm dying. If I'm lying, I'm dying." And of course, one of my favorites that I used to use a lot when I was a child is, "Cross my heart and hope to die. Cross my heart and hope to die. This is the truth." And really, I used to use that one to torment my sister quite a bit, although she tormented me too, and she deserved it. Okay, I mean, she did. She deserved it. But I often do things, and you probably did with silly things, like when you're a kid, "Can I have your cookie?" "Oh, absolutely, I'll give you my cookie, cross my heart and hope to die." "Okay, give me the cookie." "Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't see, I have my fingers crossed." Okay? And so, one of the silly games that we play as kids is, you know, what is truth and what is not truth? When are we telling the truth and when are we not telling the truth? And it was really, really this that Jesus was speaking to as He spoke this part of the Sermon on the Mount. Because you see, in Jesus' day, the rabbis had looked at the law and they looked at it very closely and they'd made all these conditions, okay? And some of the conditions are some of the things that you heard in the scripture. If you swear on Jerusalem, that's not good enough. But if you swear on the gold in the temple in Jerusalem, that means it's got to be true and you got to tell the truth. And there were all these conditions and Jesus, it got to where in Jesus' day, you couldn't tell whether somebody was doing that or not. Because you'd have to think to yourself, did they swear on Jerusalem? Was it on just Jerusalem? Was it on Jerusalem and the temple? Was it on Jerusalem, the temple, and the gold? And it became like this silly game of Simon Says. You're trying to figure out all the time. Did they say Simon Says? Did they say the right words so that what they were going to say after that was true? And Jesus apparently found this very disturbing. And what you heard him say today in the gospel passage is this: don't vow. Don't go around saying, hey, this is true because. Because he said, really, you can't swear on Jerusalem. You can't swear on heaven. You can't even swear on your own head because you can't change it from black or white. And of course, these were in the days before nice and easy, because now you can kind of change it. But these were in the days before that. You really can't change the color of your hair. So Jesus said, what you need to do is you need to make sure that your yes means yes and your no means no. And then just to make sure he made his point, Jesus adds on at the end of this passage, he says, anything else is from the evil one. Anything else is from the evil one. But this idea that we have to say honestly, or I swear to God, or I'd put my hand on a stack of Bibles, or really, I'm lying, I'm dying, all that stuff makes it really, really hard to determine what is truth and what is not truth when we do those sorts of things. You know, I love the Godfather movies, and I'll never forget in the first Godfather movie, there's a point where Marlon Brando stands up with a bunch of the rest of the Godfathers, the heads of the families, and he kind of says, I swear on the souls of my grandchildren, I will not be the one to break the peace. And I'm thinking, man, the Godfathers who shoot and kill each other at random and murder and, you know, do all sorts of horrible things, even they have to stand up and say, I swear on the souls of my grandchildren. And I thought, who's going to believe that? Who's going to believe that? And you see, that's part of what the scripture is about. It's about believability. It's about integrity. And Jesus is trying to get us to understand that we need to be people who have integrity in our speech. That our yes means yes and our no means no. And anything else is just extraneous from that. You know, Mary Noble and I were talking this week, and I was trying to figure out if maybe there was a character or somebody that we could talk about that used a lot of words, you know, to explain something. And I asked her, I said, can you think of somebody that uses a lot of words to explain themselves? And she just kept looking at me. And I said, really, can you think of somebody who has to use a lot of words to explain themselves? Somebody that I could use? And then she started to laugh. And then I realized what was going on. I said, besides me? Besides me. I'm not talking about me. But don't we appreciate somebody who has the effect, because they don't talk very much, that when they do speak, what they say carries volumes? Years ago, there used to be a commercial. If E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. E.F. Hutton was an investment company. If E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens. And I can remember in one of the churches I served years ago, there was a guy in there who was just one of those people that he didn't speak very much, but when he did speak, everybody shut up because what he said usually was profound. Now, this was a man who had an eighth grade education, who was basically employed as a farmer and had been employed as a farmer basically his whole life. But I can remember we'd be sitting in a meeting, we'd go back and forth, and people would be talking and talking and talking on issues, and all of a sudden this guy would stop and he would say one or two or three sentences, and everybody would go, oh yeah, oh that's it. That's exactly. He cut right to the heart of the matter. And I think if there's anything that we know that we need in our time, is we need people who are willing to speak the truth. Willing to speak the truth. Willing to say that it is this way and it will always be this way. You know, people that we can trust. You know, part of this comes from the political arena. It's interesting that we're having this discussion at this point in time in our country's history, as we have this back and forth in the political arena, and you wonder who you can believe and who you can't. It reminds me of a story. There were a group of politicians who were on a bus. They were having a bus tour, And they were driving along this country road, and they ended up running off the road. They slammed through a fence and ended up in a farmer's field. Well, pretty soon, when they didn't come back, they sent some people out to look for them. So they send this state trooper out, and he sees the hole in the fence, and he finds the bus, but he can't find the politicians anywhere. And so he goes to the farmer that owned the place, and he said, "Hey," he said, "did you see a bus with a bunch of politicians on it that came through here? It looks like they put a hole in your fence." He said, "Oh yeah, they're all dead." And the state trooper said, "They're all dead?" And he said, "Oh yeah." He said, "I buried every one of them." And the state trooper was kind of incredulous. He said, "Well, don't you think you should have called the medical examiner or the coroner or somebody? Are you sure they were all dead?" He said, "Well, there were a few of them who told me that they weren't dead yet. But, you know, those guys, every time they open their mouth, they lie, so I buried them anyway." And, you know, it's a shame we live in this time that we do not have a lot of trust in what politicians in general say. And it creates a lot of anger, and it makes me wonder if they shouldn't really take Jesus to heart about what he was trying to say in this passage, and the fact that we should be people who are willing to speak the truth to one another. Paul terms it this way: we ought to be the people who speak the truth in love. And that's really the kicker, isn't it? There are a lot of people who could tell you the truth, but they'd come out and they'd wield that truth on you, and man, before they got through with you, it'd be like you got beat up. And then there are people who have love, people who maybe in another place, the Bible says that Jesus came to be full of grace and truth. Maybe these people have grace, and they wouldn't tell you the truth if their life depended on it, because they're afraid it might hurt your feelings, right? And sometimes we get stuck in that, don't we? You know, particularly if your spouse comes up to you and says, "Does this make me look fat?" There is no correct answer to that. You know, we know that. But we also know that we as the church, we as the body of Christ, we as the people of God, we are the repository of sacred truth. Indeed, in John chapter 8, Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And one of the things I think we have to do with each other is we have to tell each other the truth in love. We really do. We have to tell each other the truth, but we can't use the truth in a way where it's hurtful. We have to keep in mind our love and our concern of the other person. And honestly, sometimes we use truth as a weapon, don't we? Sometimes we use the truth in a way that is just not helpful. I'm reminded of a man and his wife who were driving down the road, and they end up being pulled over by a state trooper. And the trooper comes around and he asks the man to stand outside the car. And he says, "Do you realize how fast you were going? Do you realize that you were going way over the speed limit?" And the man said, "No, officer, I didn't, but I can tell you, as sure as I stand here today, I am not a person who speeds. I always drive the speed limit or below. I always, always pay attention to the speedometer." And all of a sudden, there was this voice from inside the car of his wife who said, "He does not. He drives like a maniac. He thinks that he's some kind of NASCAR driver. As a matter of fact, I don't think he knows what the speed limit is." So the state trooper said, "Mm-hmm, sorry." He has to write out a ticket. Then he says to the man, he said, "You know what?" He said, "It occurs to me that I saw you, I was watching you as you got out of your car, and you didn't unbuckle your seatbelt. Were you wearing your seatbelt?" And the man said, "Absolutely. Each and every time that I get in my car, I put on my seatbelt. I would rather die than not put on my seatbelt." And all of a sudden, there's this voice coming out of the car that says, "That's not true. His seatbelt probably has cobwebs on it. He never puts his seatbelt on." State trooper starts to write another ticket. And about this time, the man's had enough. He leans in the window of the car and he says, "Look, why don't you mind your own business and keep your nose out of my business and just shut up?" And the state trooper watches this, and he also leans in the car and he says, "Does he talk to you like this all the time?" She said, "Oh no, only when he's drunk." You see, sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes it's just not helpful. And I think one of the reasons that sometimes we get fearful about telling somebody else the truth is because we're afraid that the truth might hurt them. And really, if we're afraid that the truth might hurt somebody, then we need to be very, very careful about how we use it and what we say. Because, you know, sometimes the truth can be hurtful. And there's a way that all of us can speak the truth to each other in love, as Paul says, or perhaps, you know, using what I told you about Jesus being full of grace and truth, that we can keep truth and grace together, and we should always do that. We should always keep grace and truth together. And you know, it's very, very important for us as the church, because I think the world is hungry. As a matter of fact, I think the world is starving to death for some truth. Because, you know, it seems at every junction, it's harder and harder to find out what truth really is. And when we don't tell each other within the church, within the body of Christ, when we don't tell each other the truth in love, when we don't speak the truth to each other, then why would we think the world would listen to anything that we would say? Really, we as a church should not have to raise our hand when we're speaking on behalf of what God has said and say, honest to God. We shouldn't have to say that. But when we don't speak the truth in love to each other, when we don't speak truthfully, when we have to say, hey, this is what my children say all the time, literally. Like, literally? What would it be if it wasn't literally, right? Because you see, what Jesus was warning us about, what Jesus was trying to get to here, is that you ought to get to the point, you ought to have so much integrity in your speech that your yes would be yes and your no would be no, and you shouldn't have to explain it. Because a lot of times what we want to do is we want to say, yes, but. Don't we? Yes, but you don't understand. Well, what's the answer? Well, it's yes, but, you know, there's all these extenuating circumstances. What's the answer? Is it yes or no? Well, it's no, but, da, 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 da. And there we go. And Jesus says all of that, it comes from the evil one. And wouldn't it be great if we in the church became known as people of integrity, people who would tell the truth in love whenever we were asked, people who were known for having truthful speech with each other. Because if Jesus really meant what he said in John chapter 8, and if it's really true that the truth is what sets us free, wouldn't it make sense that we would want each other to know the truth? That we would speak the truth? That we would be wanting to be people who were known for speaking the truth? Because otherwise, then what happens is, if you keep on and keep on and keep on, it's like that old child's tale about the boy that cried wolf. You keep on doing this, and then pretty soon people just see your lips moving, and they don't know whether to believe you or not. And it won't matter how many times you make a vow, how many times you say, oh, I swear to God, I swear to this, I swear to that. If I'm lying, I'm dying, really. Cross my heart and hope to die. People will go, nope. Every time you open your mouth, it's not true, and I can't depend on it. And really, of all people, I think this is why Jesus was so emphatic about this in the Sermon on the Mount, because of all people, we as disciples of Jesus should be people that you could count on their word. When we say yes, it means absolutely yes. When we say no, it means absolutely no. That we don't have to go through all of this wordiness and all of this explanation and all of these things, and that we don't have to make vows that things are true or not. We don't have to say that. But intrinsically, after a while, people will know that what we're saying is true because of their history with us. You see, this is one of the problems we have with politicians. It's not any of the current politicians necessarily. It's based on a long history of them saying to us whatever it is that they thought that we wanted to hear. And you know what? Part of that's our fault, y'all, because that's what we wanted. We wanted them to say what we wanted to hear rather than for them to speak the truth. And I think that in this culture that we live in, where it really is getting harder day by day to distinguish the truth from the lies and the truth from the exaggerations, the truth from the spin, when it gets harder and harder to do that, for us to be people of integrity, to be people who let our yes be yes and our no be no, oh wow, we could create a revolution we really could in our society if we would start really taking seriously our obligation as given to us by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount to be truth tellers, to be people who told the truth. Because I believe that what Jesus said in John 8 was absolutely correct. When you know the truth sets you free. It sets you free. And we need to be people who are willing to speak the truth and live the truth and honor truth wherever that truth might be found, wherever it is that truth might be. We ought to be, of all people, the people who say, yes, we want the truth. We'll speak the truth, and we'll live the truth. Amen.